Hello and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it. If you think of planning a trip to Italy, we have another great destination that we would love to share with you. And that's the island of Sicily. So what comes to mind when you think of Sicily, Alex?
Well, you know my answer. It's always going to be food, right? I find the food is amazing down there. There's so much variation and there's seafood, which is number one for me. So I think that's the number one on my list. Then, of course, there's the amazing beaches, right? The clear waters, fine sand beaches, and the beautiful weather.
You know, I will agree with you, but for me, it's also about ancient sites. Sicily has so much to offer when it comes to like archaeological sites. And of course, the architecture. I don't think a lot of people know that Sicily has a lot of Baroque architecture, which is quite incredible. I found the people in Sicily to be very friendly and very nice when we were there.
Yeah, and I find everyone very accommodating, even when they pull you over. When they pull you over and, you know, try to hand you a ticket. Luckily, we got out of that one.
Yeah, that was quite weird. But again, going back to the point that in Italy, they can just pull you over for no reason and ask you for your ID, which is still something I'm getting used to. I think a lot of people are not sure about Sicily and they don't always consider this as their destination when they come to Italy. So what do you think are some misconceptions that people have about this area?
I think number one on the list is always going to be the mob, right? We see it all in the movies all the time, TV shows, and they've actually really, you know, cracked down on that down in Sicily. So I don't think that's as much of a problem as it once was. I'm sure there's still that element of crime down there in certain areas, but generally I think it's extremely safe and, you know, you experienced it just like when we were down in Palermo. We didn't have any issues at all, you know, walking around, you know, through alleyways late at night, and literally there's no one that would bother you.
I think it's something that a lot of people have been worried about. I think I was talking to somebody, they said, oh, so-and-so came to Sicily and they got their wallet stolen or they got robbed or something like that. And, you know, this can happen anywhere. Remember, I got my wallet stolen at Starbucks in Toronto. So I don't necessarily think that's a way to gauge a destination. I mean, that sort of thing is usually going to happen, especially in like high touristy areas. But I agree with you. I don't think Sicily was unsafe. Driving around didn't feel unsafe. So again, if you're thinking about going to Sicily and not sure, you know what? I think it's a great destination and we are here to tell you why.
My favorite subject, obviously, is going to be the food. You know, there's so much to choose from while you're in Sicily. You know, Sicily is very well known for, you know, for those foodies out there. Of course, there's the arancini, which are super popular. You'll see them everywhere. You know, we experienced, you know, one of the oldest restaurants, or I guess arancini shop, down in Palermo when we visited, and they come in so many variations, but the most common is the meat one, which is essentially, if you're not familiar with what an arancini is, it's basically a rice ball with cheese in the middle, sauce, and like usually ground beef, and then it's coated in breadcrumbs and fried, and it's so good. You know, there's variations of it, but that's the old school arancini, right? You can get it with just mozzarella cheese and sauce, or I think there's even a bechamel one. So that's more of a, I guess, you know, a Naples thing, but that's also available down in Sicily.
And those are the big meatball looking things, right? Just for like a reference point for somebody who's not familiar with them, they essentially look like giant meatballs and you don't eat them on pasta, right? They're more of an appetizer.
Yeah, you have them on your own, on its own, right? So it's not something you would have as a part of your meal. It's more of kind of like a snack.
So the next one that I think most people are associating Sicily with is the cannoli.
Yeah, the cannoli. You know, that's the, you know, it's a very well-known pastry, well, throughout Italy, actually, which has been made famous by the movie Godfather, where, you know, take the cannoli, leave the gun. So that whole scene kind of sparked interest in that little pastry. It's basically a fried shell, pastry shell with ricotta cheese, with, you know, that's kind of mixed in with sugar. And then there's usually some candied fruit in there. And then, you know, you'll find sometimes the dreaded chocolate chip, which I can't stand. As you're aware, you don't like it either. But, you know, with all the chocolate chip, it's fantastic. It's just a really creamy ricotta cheese that they use in it. And it's wonderful. I love it. You know, they come in some other variations. There is the pistachio one, which, you know, they put pistachio cream mixed in with the ricotta, which, you know, is just really nice. So yeah, that's the cannoli.
And the cannoli comes in like different sizes, right? So you can get like a big, massive cannoli. You can get like small ones as well. And yeah, I'm trying to remember the cannoli that we had like back home in Canada. I don't think they use chocolate chips. Like here in Italy, they put chocolate chips on like almost everything, but I don't think they do that in Canada.
No, they don't. It's not very common, but yeah, if it's an authentic cannoli, you'll usually have some sort of chocolate chip in there.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's probably not my favorite, but again, that's just me. Like, they're very popular, and if you like ricotta cheese, you're probably going to love this one. So for me, I'm not the biggest fan, but I am a fan of the granita. So granita essentially is, think of like a shaped ice mixed with fruit juice or fruit. And it's usually served with, you can get it with, I don't know if it's whipped cream, but some kind of like cream on top. But in Sicily, they eat that with a brioche. So you basically have this bun that they put the granita in sometimes, which to me, again, I'm not a big fan. I prefer my granita without the brioche, but I've seen people do it here too. So again, granita for me is great, but not with the bread. What about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. It seems really odd just to throw in, you know, like a ice cream-ish type product in a piece of bread, but it's a brioche bread, right? It's also sweet. So it's kind of like gives you a sweet and savory flavor to it. And it's, you know, super popular down there. But I couldn't get a hang of having the two combined.
No. So my favorite is the strawberry one, but you can they come in different flavors, not like a huge variety, not as many as you would have with gelato, but there is, I think lemon is also popular. I prefer the strawberry. And whenever we are in Sicily, we always have that. Actually, there's a cafe not too far from where we live, and the owners, the lady's also Sicilian, and she makes really good granitas. So we have those in town as well. But I think another quintessential Sicilian dish, and I guess not just the dish, but ingredient, is eggplant, right? So the most popular, of course, is the eggplant parmigiana, right? Which is, how is it different than the one we have in Canada?
I think the most common, I find it's sometimes floured, right? And they flour it and fry it and then put the tomato sauce and the mozzarella cheese and then have it melted in the oven. But those variations, sometimes they'll use some breading with the flouring. You know, they first flour it, soak it in the egg wash, and then into the breading. So, you know, so there's some variations, but either way, those two ways to make it is actually fairly common. So usually they'll just bread it back home. They don't go through the dual washes and breadings, etc. But yeah, they take a little longer to make things around here in Italy.
So another dish that has the eggplant in it is pasta alla norma, which is a pasta dish basically with the eggplant inside the tomato sauce. But I also had pizza alla norma, which is the same idea, but on a pizza.
Yeah, the pasta alla norma, that's really good. It's fried eggplant, little pieces of cubed eggplant that they fry up. And then you mix it in with the tomato sauce. And then at the end, you'll grate some hard ricotta, which is a little more salty than normal ricotta. So it's a harder ricotta cheese that you can shave into the pasta. And yeah, it actually gives it this really nice milky, salty, savory flavor. So it's really nice. I enjoy making that.
Yes. So if you are in Sicily, we recommend that you try pasta alla norma or pizza alla norma. I don't know if there's anything else alla norma, but if you hear the name alla norma, probably has eggplant in it.
The other popular eggplant-based dish is actually caponata. It's not that popular outside of Italy, but I personally, I enjoy it the most of all the eggplant dishes is the caponata, which basically is fried eggplant with a mix of vegetables, like there's peppers and you can have carrots in it, onions, etc. It's cooked until it becomes really soft. And then I believe you add some vinegar, olive oil into it, and you cook it until it's very soft and then let it cool. So it's basically it's almost like a salad after, like a cold salad, and you just eat it with some bread, some fresh bread, and it's so good. It's one of my favorite dishes. So when it comes to eggplants, I know you don't like it too much. And of course, I can't forget there is sugar in it. So it's almost like a savory sweet flavor to it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite eggplant dish. But, again, it's a very Sicilian dish that if you are there, if you like eggplant, it's really worth trying because the flavors are really explosive.
And one of the other very popular dishes in Sicily is pasta con le sarde. So it's basically pasta with sardines. The main ingredients are sardines, tomatoes, and there's some little baby raisins. It's actually a little different the way the raisins are here in Sicily than outside. They're almost like little mini grapes that are slightly dried, but you're still a little bit juicy. So it's actually really good with pasta. So it's one of the dishes I really enjoyed.
One of my favorite dishes when we were in Sicily was in Cefalù. So I had pistachio and lemon pasta, which when you think about it might sound strange, and it did sound strange to me, but basically the sauce is very lemony based and you have pistachio mixed in, and it's I think it was kind of stuffed cheese pasta that was served with it, but it was delightful. I think that's my favorite dish. If I had to go back, I'd go back to the restaurant and have that dish because it was just outstanding. The flavors and the mix of, again, lemon and pistachio was something I didn't expect and I really loved. So I guess maybe we should mention that pistachio is also very common in Sicily and you have a lot of different dishes with it. The one that I'm talking about, the one with pistachio and lemon, I think it's like a more modern take on the traditional food. But again, it's something that we both enjoyed because it was just delightful. What was your favorite dish while we were in Sicily?
Yeah, I think the real hidden gem that we came across was in Agrigento, which was that all-you-can-eat seafood joint. It was just off the hook. I remember when we got there, it's a fixed price menu where you got I don't even remember, there was six or seven different dishes, if not more. And they're all seafood-based, fish, seafood. There was the little, fried anchovies, there was all those mussels, and there was so many different types of fish that came with that menu, fixed menu. It was just unreal. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, that was crazy how much food we got. That was just I can't remember. That was crazy, a 20, 25 euro a person, which was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was super, super cheap. For the amount of seafood we got, it was just such a deal. And it came with that homemade soda called gassosa, which is basically almost like a Sprite, but more lemony and not as sweet. It was really good.
Yeah, I forgot about the wine. We got a jug of white wine, a big jug, and there was that lemony drink. There was, I think, three different pasta dishes. There was one with squid ink. There was one with, I think, some eggplant. There was another green one with, I think that was a pesto of parsley and something else. Then there was fried seafood, fried calamari, and the mussels that we mentioned. I just remember being so full afterwards, and the dishes just kept coming and coming. That was just crazy.
Yeah, it was a really ridiculous amount of food that we got there.
I will definitely try to find the name of that restaurant. It was sort of not in Agrigento itself because we stayed sort of around it, but it was, again, one of those small little towns that actually wasn't that small of a town, but you know, we drove in there and I think we were the only non-Italians, but yeah, it was great. That was, again, a very good place to eat. Okay, so now you might be wondering, how do you get to Sicily? There are many ways you can go to Sicily. Again, one of them is probably flying in is the best. There's airports in Palermo and Catania. And I think Trapani also might have an airport. So if you're flying from the mainland of Italy, probably Palermo or Catania will be your best bet. We have flown to Palermo before and flew out of Catania. I have taken the train to Catania from Rome, so you can also take the train. The journey is quite long, but again, if you're just looking to relax and, you know, have the leg room and not have to worry about check-ins, that's a great option. The train is then put on a boat and it gets to Messina by boat and then you're off again on the train. So when we went last summer, we took our car. So we drove all the way down and we took the boat from Villa San Giovanni to Messina. And that was about, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes. It wasn't very long.
So again, if you're looking at coming to Sicily, you can also do that. But if you're going to be renting a car, I would say it's probably better to fly in to Palermo or to Catania and then rent a car from there, because that way you could just return it. That way you don't have to worry about taking, you know, the car across and try to figure out how to get there. It's not very complicated. You just, there's signage literally to get you to the ferry. You just pay for your ticket and you drive onto the boat. Then you drive off and that's it. Like, it's really that easy and it's not very complicated. Now, what about driving around Sicily? We drove through the center and we drove around. And I'm not sure if what I expected, but it was easy. The highways are well-maintained. We were there in the summertime, so there was lots of beautiful flowery shrubs. It really felt nice to drive in there. Now, there are only certain roads, which, again, if you're in a very smaller towns and you're driving sort of around it, we had a couple of different roads that, you know, were pretty sketch. Not that they were unsafe, it's just they were very narrow and there were like potholes in there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there were some roads that required a little bit of repairs, but otherwise it was pretty smooth.
What can you see in Sicily? Keep in mind that Sicily, even though it's an island, it's quite big. So you can't just go from one place to the other and see everything and say, you know, in 3 to 4 days. You probably have to fly around. Like if you were in Palermo, you have to fly to Catania, which I would not necessarily recommend. You can probably try, you know, the train or like a bus. We were there for 2 weeks the last time, and we'll take you through what we did and also suggest some additional stops that you might want to consider. So if you're coming to Sicily, let's say you fly in Palermo, I would suggest taking a car and then picking a side of the island. So if you're on the west side where Palermo is, there's plenty of places on the top where Palermo is and sort of driving all the way down and then you can drive back across, or you can drive east towards Cefalù and Messina and do that top. Again, I don't think you'll have enough time to drive all the way around the island to fully appreciate it. So let's go and cover the places we went to.
Yeah, so we drove down to Villa San Giovanni, which it's approximately, I don't know, from where we were, I think it took us, what, four or five hours?
I think it was about 4 hours. It was less than, it's from Toronto to Montreal. I know that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was a 20-minute ferry ride once we boarded the ferry with our car. And then we got to Messina, which, by the way, is actually really beautiful. Even though we only drove through, it looked really clean, you know, and very historic looking.
Yeah, it also had some interesting architecture, which again, we didn't really have that much time to explore. But if you're looking at, you know, flying in or driving in, Messina is also a great place to go and explore the islands there, the Aeolian Islands. I can never say the name. But anyway, so once we got into Messina, we opted not to stay. So we drove all the way to Cefalù, which is sort of, again, along the sort of northern coast. And that ride was a bit longer than I expected. So I think that was about 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours to get to Cefalù.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Cefalù is actually an amazing town. Beach was great, by the way. So if you plan on staying, there is a wonderful beach that you can visit and, you know, relax on. But a couple tips before you do get there. make sure you keep an eye out for those big neon ZTL signs. It's a limited driving zone area, right? So you can't drive through the town if that sign is activated, or if the, you know, if that ZTL sign is active, and it's usually going to be red. And if you do see notice that, I would make sure you don't drive into the town, find parking outside, because you will get a ticket in the mail.
So Cheffel is kind of on the coast, and the way we were coming, there was really no other way to get to town other than to drive through that zone, which we didn't realize was the zone. On the other side of the historic town, there are parking streets and parking lots. Unfortunately, the way we came, there wasn't one. So again, if you are driving into Cheffelu, make sure that, you know, you check out the area which way you're coming from, because the ticket is quite pricey. I think it was like, what, 80, 85 euros that we had to pay for driving into that zone. And unfortunately, that was a bit of a damper. So don't make the same mistake as we did, and make sure that you keep an eye on the zone. And when you're going there, again, the GPS doesn't really tell you that it's the zone. So it kind of just told us to go through, and that's what we did. And that was an expensive mistake.
I think going back to what you mentioned about the GPS, I think if it's Google Maps, it won't show. But I think if you use Waze, it does show up, as far as I remember. I think I used Waze once, and I think it actually pointed it out. So yeah, you know, if you are going to go to some of these areas, some of these more historic areas, I would use maybe Waze to get there, and it'll actually point out those ZTL zones.
Now, about the city itself, Cheffelu was a big surprise for me. We tried not to do too much research before we went. So we knew it was a beach town kind of thing. Didn't really expect much of it, but actually, it's a very nice old historic town. You have a lot of those little really narrow roads with these, you know, not just narrow, but like very hilly roads. Cheffel is kind of on a hill itself. There's a big castle that you can climb up to. So we did climb up there. However, we realized that the castle, like the area where you go to the, I should say, castle ruins and the viewpoint, it closes, I think, at 5 p.m. when we were there in the summertime. So if you get there too late, you won't be able to go. So we learned that also the hard way, because we just assumed it was open. And when we got there, they were just closing. So we had to go back the next day before we left. So again, in Cheffelu, I would say you can probably stay maybe, like, we stayed for 2 days, I think. We got there in the evening. We stayed 2 full days. It was a beautiful little town. There's a beach. There's lots of bars and restaurants along the waterfront. You can go up and climb to the castle and the viewpoint, which, again, it's a very pretty town, very relaxing and very, very picturesque. So if you're looking for that kind of vibe, Cheffelu is your place to be.
Our next stop was Agrigento. We drove down south through the island. There was some construction on the way, which we weren't paying a whole lot of attention to, but we found that we actually kind of had to backtrack a bit back to get back on the road. So, you know, we did get finally to that destination where we stayed at a really nice spot.
Agrigento, if you are not aware of it, is an old, well, it's an archaeological park. So they have a number of really well-preserved temples. And that's probably one of my favorite places that we went to. But before we got to Agrigento, the drive through Sicily was very picturesque. The views are incredible, and you get to see the natural beauty of Sicily. And you get to Agrigento, which is on a hill. So when you are going through the park from one temple to the next, the views are also incredible. And then you can see the modern day Agrigento, and just imagine what it was like back in, like, when those temples were in their prime. We opted not to stay in Agrigento. We actually stayed just outside, and we were actually closer to a place called Scala dei Turchi. So it's basically these rock formations that almost look like those white, I guess, what you can see sometimes in Turkey, they have these white rock formations that kind of come out into the water. Unfortunately, in these ones, you couldn't really walk on them, but you could walk around, and they were pretty incredible. So we were like maybe a few minutes from that. And then from there, we went to the restaurant that we mentioned before, the all-you-can-eat seafood. So again, if you're looking to stay in Agrigento, there's plenty of little hotels and places to stay around there. We opted to kind of stay in a bit of a countryside. And I think that was a good move because we had like our own little villa and we had a nice patio where you can sit down, you can enjoy the views. And it's very private, even though there's like buildings around you and like other, you know, people live there. But it didn't feel very crowded, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that was a great spot for us to relax.
Okay, so our next spot was a town of Scoliti. So we were there actually to meet with some people that were staying in Scoliti. So again, we drove from where we were staying to Scoliti. It was like another maybe hour, an hour and a half. Scoliti is again a beach town. It's a bit different from Cefalù because it's a bit maybe less historic. You don't have the same sort of architecture there, but it's more resort based. So there's a lot of resorts. And the beaches are very sandy and sort of flat. So if you prefer that kind of beach, I think this was a great spot to explore. So we stayed in Scoliti for a few days, and that was also a great place to explore other little towns. So another place we went to was Vittoria, which again had a lot of, you know, Baroque architecture, but there was also some like little pieces of like what, Art Deco that we found peeking from other places, which was also quite nice.
Yeah, the Victoria was a lot more historic, right? It was more, I guess, inward, not too close to the seaside area of Scoliti. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Now, Victoria is bigger than Scoliti, and we stayed there for just that day. We were there with the people that we were with. If you're looking to stay in that area, I would say it's probably easier to stay in Scoliti and then go to Victoria as opposed to the other way around. That way you get to enjoy the beach and the area before you move on to your next stop. So our next stop, which again, we're going sort of more towards the east side and up of the island, we opted to stay in a town called Avola, which if you think of Sicily as like a sort of roundish, not roundish, but like the shape of Sicily, you're sort of starting to go up now. So we drove through Ragusa, which is a very beautiful town, very historic. You have Ragusa, you have Modica, and you have Noto. Those are the three towns that are well known for their Baroque architecture. But instead of staying in those towns, we opted to stay in Avola because it was just easier for us. So again, you know, Ragusa is great, but then I almost find that because it's such a historic town and it's kind of hard to navigate, especially if you have a car, right? You have to park your car, then you have to kind of walk up because you can't always get everywhere with the car. It's easier to stay in like a different place and then just go to Ragusa to enjoy it for like a day or even half a day. We drove through Ragusa to Avola. And once we were in Avola, we did road trips to Noto and we went to another little town called Merzamemi, which was quite delightful.
We should actually point out a little fun fact about Avola. There is actually very well known for its wine, and it's actually the Nero d'Avola, which is a red wine variety that's actually very popular down in Sicily and actually also outside of Italy.
Oh yes, we forgot to mention the wine. I think Avola, I came across it sort of by accident. I don't really think I've seen too many people mention Avola. You know, as far as like attractions go, it's a nice town and has a lot of cool architecture. And it's a great place to kind of stay as a base in that area. I haven't really found too many things written about it. And it's unfortunate because it's quite nice. And again, it's in a very, well, you know, it's in a good spot in the island that you can explore other places. So again, I was also a bit cheaper than staying in, let's say, Ragusa or Noto. I think we drove to Noto from Avola and that wasn't too far. Maybe it was like half an hour drive. So again, you're very close and located quite close to other sites. For me, I was happy with our stay in Avola because again, we had a really cool Airbnb and we also were able to go see other places that we might not be able to visit otherwise.
Yeah, I think it was a good spot if you plan on staying and visiting some other nearby towns and areas. So I think Avola was a good choice.
Now, what did you think of Merzamemi? Because we've never heard of this before until a friend of ours told us this. And I don't think I could find too many things on Merzememi, but once we got there, it was actually quite busy with people. So again, Merzememi is a small sort of like an old fishing village, and you can't really drive through it. So there was a parking lot that you have to park your car, and then you sort of walk in through the main street. But itself, it was quite nice.
Yeah, I found it was really touristy. There was a lot of people there walking around. And yeah, it was interesting that, you know, you had to park your car, you know, before you got into the town and, you know, walk your way up. So, but otherwise, I thought it was, you know, pretty interesting town.
Yeah, they had some cute bars and restaurants, and they had, yeah, like you said, there were sort of like souvenir shops, but there was that big store. Do you remember they had all kinds of dried goods and canned things and jarred things, which was actually quite interesting.
Yeah, they had a lot of the, I guess, those canned sardines for the, you know, for the pasta and some of the other, I guess, popular Sicilian dried goods, like, I guess, those hot peppers and such.
Yeah. So again, if you're looking, if you're in that area and you're looking for some souvenirs, I think, you know, you would, again, I'm not sure where you're coming from and what you can bring in your luggage, but they had canned and like jarred and tin things, which I think you can bring in your suitcase, but obviously check your regulations. Don't just like take my word for it. But yeah, Avola was a great place to stay. Merzememi was actually quite interesting and surprisingly touristy, but there were also a lot of Italian tourists.
Yeah, I found there was actually most of them were Italian. I didn't see too many foreigners walking around, but they did have, I think it was also some sort of festival and concert going on at the time. So I think that was also bringing in a lot of the locals. And obviously there's so many bars and restaurants in that area that, you know, it was the weekend. So I think that was probably one of the reasons why you saw so many people.
I'm glad that we went when we did. It's not a huge town. So, you know, if you were going to stay there, I would say maybe just stay one night. But I don't know, unless you really wanted to stay in that area, I would say stay somewhere else more central, like we did in Avola, and you can just drive down there to visit, because it's quite small and there isn't like that whole of a lot of things to see and do there. So anyway, after Avola, we drove further up north. So now, we were debating whether we should stay in Syracuse or not. We opted not to. We stopped. There was another archaeological park with this Greek theater. Actually, I found that one to be a disappointing site. We've seen many, and the one in Syracuse wasn't my favorite. It's kind of hard to explain because the theater is almost like rebuilt, and they had it covered with benches. So it didn't really look that old. So again, you know, you kind of go to see sort of the ruins and sort of the theater, and this one just was sort of underwhelming.
Yeah, I found that they built out a bunch of, I guess, makeshift wooden seating around the theater instead of having the regular stone seating areas that you would find in an amphitheater. They actually covered it up with wood. So I think they have a lot of concerts there, so that's probably why they did that. But yeah, it wasn't very authentic.
No, and again, we didn't really stay in Syracuse. That's probably a better place to stay if you're planning to check out that part of the island. Again, we opted not to stay there this time, but Syracuse is also a good place to sort of have a base if you're looking for a larger town that you can take a lot of different trips from. So after we went to Syracuse, we stayed in this small little place. It's called Cala Tabiano. And that one was close to the beach and then between Catania and between Taormina, which again, we were not sure which one we should stay in. Catania is also a big city and it's supposed to be quite nice. I was only there for about 10 hours during 2020 when COVID was just breaking. So I didn't get a chance to see a lot of it. But again, that's a bigger city. So if you're looking for a place to stay and explore, that can also be a good base. So now, what did you think of the Cala Tabiano area?
I thought it was nice. You know, the beach was a bonus, obviously. Although I found it a little bit rocky. It's probably not a spot you want to lay down for too long. But the water was good. I thought the weather was great, obviously. And, you know, and the beach was clean.
Yeah, and there was a restaurant like right sort of by the beach, which was quite good. We had dinner then on our first night. And we also checked out some other little smaller towns. There was a great shopping store sort of just down the street from it. The place we stayed at was on the outskirts of like the bigger town, which had some pretty good shops in there. There was a really great shoe outlet, which I did some shopping at. But the best part about it was that we could see the volcano. So Mount Etna was like right there. So I thought the view was incredible, although I wouldn't live there just because of that volcano being a bit too close.
I think one of my highlights was actually visiting that city or town, Noto, which was, you know, surprisingly busy. It's a really, really beautiful city with very interesting architecture. I think we ended up doing that little, I guess, kind of like a train slash bus ride around town while we were there, and we got to see or explore some of it, to see some of that interesting architecture. And you know, I think we really enjoyed that. It was actually a surprise how nice that town was.
Yeah, Noto is a great spot. So again, you have the three cities. So it's Noto, Ragusa, and Modica, which are like a triangular Baroque area. We didn't think that we needed to stay in that area, so we skipped it and we did day trips. Just a fun fact, in Modica, there's a chocolate place and they use the method that the Aztecs used to make. So I guess when they discovered like the New World, they brought this chocolate and the technique with them. Because remember at that time, I think Sicily was being ruled by the Spanish. So they brought that chocolate and the technique of making it back with them. And that's how they still make it now. So there's a special flavor to this chocolate and the texture when you get it. That's what Sicily is also known for that chocolate from Modica.
Yeah, I thought that was really a really interesting tasting chocolate. So the texture is definitely different. And it's usually dark chocolate, right? Like it's the way they used to make back in that time. So it's something you'd want to try when you're in that area, or you know, if you come across Modica chocolate, I would highly recommend it.
And the last place we checked out before we ended up coming back was Taormina. What did you think of that place?
Yeah, that one was a little disappointing. I think I thought it was extremely touristy, you know, and also you had to do that whole parking outside of the city. There was a parking structure right before you got into the city, which makes sense, I guess, because the streets were so narrow. But I found it really, really touristy, like a lot of foreign tourists, a lot of Americans we saw. A lot of American tourists were there. But yeah, nothing really attracted me to it very much. So yeah, I don't think I'd want to visit again. But it's definitely something you would want to see at least once. You know, I had some interesting architecture there. And then of course there was the issue where we couldn't visit one area, but I'll let you explain that one.
Yeah, so the whole reason I wanted to go to Taormina was because there is a really outstanding ancient theater and I wanted to see it. We opted not to stay in Taormina because we were told it's very touristy, so we're like, okay, fine, we can just go there. So the day that we went to visit, there was a concert going on. So a lot of these old theaters are still used today. So they do a lot of concerts, they do a lot of different events. And if you don't know ahead of time, like we did, again, you show up thinking you can see it, and unfortunately you couldn't. So it was very disappointing because that was one thing I really wanted to see was the theater, because it's like kind of on top of a hill and it's got really great views. And unfortunately we couldn't. So again, that's a mistake that we made, not knowing that there's going to be a concert there that day. And we were basically not able to see it. So if I was going to go back to Taormina, it would just be for that theater. Because again, the city was beautiful. It was nice. It was, you know, very kind of historic kind of thing you're looking for. But it was just so crowded. There were so many people. And I think if I was going to go back in that area, it would just be for the theater, not to really stay in the city.
There are some other places that you'll want to visit. We didn't make it this time around, but obviously you have to go to Palermo. You know, it's the largest city in Sicily, and it's definitely a place you want to spend some time, you know, at least a few days to just explore the area, check out the sites, see some of the interesting museums that they have, and I'll obviously try all the food.
Yeah, I think Palermo was one of my favorites. So Palermo is, again, a big city, there's lots of stuff to do. There's the food is great. You know, there's museums, the architecture is great. We stayed at this place that had like a rooftop patio and you could just go up there and enjoy it. So we did that. We would sit there at night with our drinks and you just listen to the like the sounds of people just talking and you can hear a fork drop, you know, and just the sounds are coming from like people being outside and enjoying food and conversation. And that was really great to experience. Sicily is a fascinating place because it has so much history, right? Sicily has so much history in it, you know, and has the Roman, the Greek, the Arab influences that are really on display when you go to, let's say, places like Palermo, where you can see the different architectural styles and you think, wow, I haven't really seen this type of architecture in other places in Italy. So again, Palermo has a blend of that. The cathedral there is a blend of like Norman and Arab influences, which you don't really see in like a traditional Catholic church. So for me, Palermo was an outstanding experience. And again, we didn't go this time, but we were there before. That's why we opted not to. So again, if you were starting your journey in Sicily and you flew into Palermo, I think that would be a good introduction to Sicily and its history.
Yeah, and then the next place you would want to visit is San Vito Lo Capo, which is, you know, the northern side of Sicily. And it's got its own beaches, so it's definitely something you'd want to see and actually spend some time, even just to relax and enjoy the water.
Yeah, it's one of those destinations that's like a definitely a beach place. So if you're looking to enjoy some outdoors, there's hiking trails there, there's a park, and it's only about maybe half an hour to an hour from Palermo. After San Vito Lo Capo, if you continue along the western part of the island, there's also Trapani, which is also a great city. If you are, again, looking for some culinary experiences, there is the Marsala, which you might know the Marsala wine. It's a bit like a sweeter port type wine. There's also a number of salt flats, which is another thing that Sicily is well known for, is the salt flats. So the salt flats go back to, oh, I don't know, like, I want to say even past the Romans, past the Greeks. They used to make salt even as far as back then. So they still continuously use the salt flats and produce the salt. And you can even now buy salt from Sicily and in the store. You can do some different tours there of wine, of the salt flats. And I think that's a really interesting part of Sicily that most people don't really talk about and they don't really get to experience. We haven't actually been to that part. We plan on doing that our next trip, which hopefully will be maybe this summer. We'll go back for another couple of weeks to Sicily.
So when should you visit Sicily? My recommendations are to avoid, I guess, the summer season because it can get extremely hot in Sicily. So if you're like me, you know, I enjoy the heat, then go for it. But my recommendation is actually to look at off season. You'll find it'll, you know, especially if you visit the larger cities, you'll find it extremely touristy. You know, it might be a good time around now to visit, or April or May. I think those are probably the optimal times to visit Sicily. You'll find it'll probably be a lot less busy and you'll enjoy more comfortable weather.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we were there, I think it was the beginning of June. So towards when we were leaving Sicily, we were sort of getting towards the end of June and it started to get really hot. So again, if you're exploring the outdoors like Agrigento or the other archaeological park in Syracuse, there is no shade. So basically you're walking around and you need a hat, you need sunscreen because it gets really hot. Again, we were there in June and it was already getting hot. So imagine being there like in August. Oof, I don't recommend it. Right now, it's a good time to visit Sicily. It doesn't really get that cold, right? So here where we are, it's about maybe low to mid teens, if that's in Celsius. Whereas in Sicily, you get like higher teens to maybe even like low 20s, which is, you know, for winter, especially for us coming from Canada, that's like crazy. So I think if we're looking to go back, we might go this year, might not be able to go back earlier. But if you're looking at going off season, like Alex said, maybe like March, April, May would be a good option. Or if you're looking at maybe September, October, even if into November, you could get some nice weather and less crowds. So that's our take on Sicily. We've been there before. We can't wait to go back. And if you're looking for more information and you want to visit some of the places we've mentioned, make sure you check out the podcast episode notes. We'll leave those linked. And we really recommend Sicily as a great place to explore in Italy if you're looking for something that's, you know, not your typical not your typical itinerary that most people check out.
I agree 100% with that. And I think it's a good time to visit Italy, especially during the off season.
Yeah, so go ahead, book your trip to Sicily and let us know how it went. Till next time, ciao.
And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.